Welcome back to Always Evolving with me, Coach Mike. As you guys know, when somebody inspires me, or when there's a new fascination for me, that I share it with you guys. And a few months ago, you know, when you're online and you're on YouTube or on some of these different stations or Spotify, and then you stumble upon an artist, and then you start doing a deeper dive, and then you start listening to all their music, and you're like, wow, I really dig them. Well, that happened to me with the artist who I have joined us today. And so I'd like to welcome LP.
Hey, what's up, man?
And if you don't know who LP is, which it's a certain, I would say, genre or style or type or vibe. It's not pop culture, which I actually love. And, you know, she's had like 500 million views on some of her videos on Spotify. Some of her songs have had hundreds of millions of listens, which is phenomenal. First of all, how did you come up with your name? And just tell me about your art.
It's from my initials. It was just like me working at a restaurant back in the day in New York City, and there was another Laura, so they started calling me LP. And then my friends at the time, like my band and stuff, were started calling me that, because, you know, it'd be like everyone's calling me LP at work, and then it just kind of stuck, like any nickname. And then I was like, oh, I really like this. It was kind of a surprise, and it just felt like it was my name.
Yeah, I mean, I actually, if it was up to me, I feel like I'd rather my name be Merlin. Like, I'm really into wizards, hence why I have a wizard cup. I'm drinking out.
All you guys say is call me Merlin, and then I'm good to go.
Yeah, exactly. So you've been in the music business for a long time, meaning like you've been in the art of creating music, right? And And you've worked in it in a lot of different capacities.
I have, yeah. I mean, I did all the, I started as an indie artist, and then I got my first major label deal in 2006. And then I was like, for like 3 years, I was like in the major label. I was on Island Def Jam and Universal, and I wrote like, I don't know, like 140 songs around. And then I got a writing deal at that, like no record came out. Like it was, it bore no fruit, basically the deals. But then one of my songs got picked up by the Backstreet Boys, and then I embarked on like a writing career. And then, got another deal with Warner Brothers in 2011. And then, just shit started to happen from there. And then I was on Warner Brothers for 3 years, and then all the personnel changed, and all the people that thought I was, you know, going to be this big thing kind of were gone. And the new people asked me to come in and play my shit for them. And I did, I played them like these three songs, one of them being Lost on You, which is like, you know, close to 2 billion streams at this point. I've got like plaques and shit all over the place from it, you know, which is awesome, and I'm so grateful for it. But like, that was one of the songs that they were just like, yeah, that's great, you're dropped. You know, and then I was just like, oh, and I was like, that was like my fifth record deal at that point in the States. And then I got signed by Vagrant Records like a couple months later, and then that year I just kind of like did some touring. I was out with Brian Ferry, this artist from like Roxy Music and stuff, and the summer of 2016. And then all of a sudden, my shit started to take off in Europe. I went from having two shows at the beginning of September to like 50 shows before the end of the year or more. And then I haven't really been home much since, until the plague of 2020.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So let me ask you, so when you were songwriting for people at that time, did you have a vision for yourself? Like, gosh, I really wish I was singing this song. Or was it really like, nah, it would be cool, but no big deal?
No, I didn't. I couldn't believe that other people would sing one of my songs. Because, you know, to be honest with you, you know, the irony of it all is that I, you know, it's just like, to be like rejected as an artist because maybe you didn't have the song, and then to be suddenly be like, have people be taking your songs and people, you know, complimenting you or like being like, yeah, you're a songwriter, da, 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 you know, and it's just, you know, it's wild. Everybody wants to put this thing on you. And, you know, I have this, used to write for Atlantic all the time, like in this, like, you know, building. Basically, it was like a chop shop situation where people just like spat melodies and lyrics and everything, you know. And I don't know, it just seemed like every time I went in, they would take my melodies more so. Like, I didn't really even do any lyrics, but like, I'm a very lyric heavy person, you know what I mean? And it's just, and like a guy said, like, oh yeah, you're more about melodies than lyrics. So I was like, no offense, bitch, but people have my lyrics tattooed on their body and shit, you know, like, fuck off, you know. It's like, people always like trying to pigeonhole you, you know?
What's inspiring is you just kept doing your art. You kept talking about what's going on in your life and how you feel and the vibe and just staying true to who you were. And what I've noticed about you in my brief time getting to know you, and we're going to play your song in a second, the one that you love, which is like, I have questions about because I, of course, looked at all the lyrics behind it, you know, and kind of looking into it, but you march to your own beat, which is clear from the outside. That's how it appears. And my question to you is, did you reach a certain point in your career? Because I feel like this is for a lot of people where you went, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to do it my way. Or were you always kind of like, I'm going to do it my way?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I really don't know how else to do it. Like, it's not like, I don't know what my way is as a, according to anybody else's, really. I mean, I see it sometimes. I mean, you know, when I was like, I remember being fascinated or wondering all the time, like how other people wrote or whatever, you know, like I would go in a session with another artist where the session was for that, the songs for that artist, not for me. And just like observe how they write and what they say, what they get first and how they do it. And yeah, it's really interesting, you know, and it showed me, one of the things that period of my life showed me was that it is very, it doesn't matter. Like I'd see people that were every place in the spectrum as far as like, you know, how talented they were, how beautiful they were, how young they were, how much they had going on, going into this deal, how behind this person everyone was. And then I'd still be like, where the hell did that person go? Like, I'd go in a session and I just hear nothing but like the best things, like this person was going to be the next blah, blah, blah. And then I would forget about them. Cause I don't, you know, it's not, I don't, you know, I'm doing like, you know, 10 sessions a week. And then I'd be like, oh shit, I never heard about that person again. Like what? And I've also been like where I did a lot of songs with someone and they had a lot of heat. It was great. And I watched a record guy get involved to the point where they ruined the whole momentum and all the things. And I just saw that, like, you just never know. And that's like, I'm so lucky. I'm one of the most lucky motherfuckers ever. You know what I mean? Like, there's like, I can't believe, like, I'm on stage and I'm like, wow, like, I can't believe that I'm getting to do this on such a level, you know? But I tell the story, that story about Lawson, you as much as I can, just because I feel like I want people to know that just because some douche on the other side of a desk is like, I don't get it. You know, it doesn't mean that that's not a, you know, a viable, great song. It doesn't mean that you should hang out and, you know, hawk that song all over the world for the next 10 years being like, but this is a great song. It just means that that person didn't get it, you know? And I've like working with people, like, and getting someone that gets it, it's like dating, you know? It's like, you're either like, you know, there's these people that get it and understand me and are turned on by what I do. And then there's people that are just like flatline, nothing. They're just like kind of, you know, South Park eyes, you know, just like, who the hell are you? Like, nothing.
And for me, I can relate to what you're describing, you know, like it's for me, I'm in self-help and I own a treatment center and I've worked with a lot of people. I'm in recovery myself from meth and a bunch of other things, but like, it's almost like it's so liberating to do what you love. Like it, in theory, on this podcast, it could be all people in self-help and all we're talking about. But for me, I get more excited and my following gets excited when I talk to people that inspire me, right? And so I'm going to play for everyone right now. Well, should we talk about what it's about or do you want me to play the song?
I think play it first and then.
All right, cool. So everyone, this is LP's The One That You Love. It's so, by the way, it's so catchy. Like, because I was listening to Girls Gone, Girls Go Wild.
it's just like, you know, when literally the day we wrote it, I'm like, we spend like a lot of time telling people it's Girls Go Wild.
I know. Okay. Yeah. So that Girls Go Wild is fire. And it was in my head, but then it shifted over now. The One That You Love. So everyone just heard The One That You Love, and I assume you wrote this song.
Yes. Any song that is on my record is a song I wrote.
Okay.
Co-wrote, but wrote.
And walk me through your, you know, because this is a very emotional song, right? Meaning. There's heartache and pain.
Yeah.
And.
Heartache and pain.
So to muster up the energy to just start lyrically putting this down, like, how did you end up with this piece of work?
You know, I mean, I am, especially from writing so much, you know, I feel like I have definitely, I know I'm good at like getting right to the meat of the feeling, you know, and usually like when I'm writing, I'm like doing, depends if I have a title. This particular song, I did not have a title. I just had a feeling. And then that, you know, that like the lyrics just started to pop out as I went. But the felt like the melodic kind of intention was very, like, it felt very emotional and brought all that out, you know. I'm always examining relationships, you know. I think that, it's, even though everything seems like of a romantic nature, and it is for the most part, but I do think that romantic relationships are like the ultimate mirror to that holds up to you and goes, you know, what is it what are you working on? You know, like what bothers you? And, and that's, you know, you kind of carry that out into the rest of the world. So, you know, the one that you love is kind of about like kind of always wondering if you're being enough, doing enough, getting enough kind of vibe, which I think people can relate to.
Well, one of the lines you said, don't treat my love like a habit. Why don't you show me a way? I'd give it to you. You can have it. I just wish I knew what to say. And what hit me in that was like that, like, oh, I know that, like, it's like a silent, painful rejection where you don't, for me at least, where like, you don't really know what did I do wrong or why am I not enough? And
well, that missing that opportunity for communication, you know, I mean, I grew up in a pretty unhappy marriage, like, you know, like a very difficult, abusive at times, but also like, you know, non-communicative as far as on what needed to be, you know. I think that it wasn't, my dad was definitely not open to criticism or kind of questioning of what he was about. And and, you know, I think my mom just like kind of suffered in somewhat silence, but also in kind of being standing up to it, like, you know, I'm not gonna take it kind of thing, you know. So I just like saw all that and then saw it like last. It's like, wow. I think a lot of people can relate to you know, like I even like romantic things, songs. You can think of them in so many ways. You know, my song Lost in You, I felt like had like, you know, a lot of ways that you can interpret it. It had a bunch of it's that weird thing where you just like, you know, you don't understand what you're doing right now. You're fucking this up, you know?
And do you, let me ask, at a young age, were you kind of writing about how you felt growing up in that environment? Like in high school, were you kind of just...
No, I didn't write like that.
Really?
No, it was like kind of more of a academic household, you know? My dad was a lawyer. My, you know, everyone around was a lawyer, doctor, and that's what you were going to be. I knew, I think I knew I could write halfway decently just in English and stuff like that, but I really didn't think that, like, that was a thing or an option.
Yeah. So the one that you love, you wrote in the last year or so, or?
I wrote that in November.
Yeah. Oh, recent.
Yeah.
And so I take it this was you getting out of a relationship?
No.
Got it.
Yeah. You know, when I wrote Lost on You, I was with that person for another year after that. I wrote that in, you know, while we were still together, which, you know, is that seems to be my thing. I was like, I write the breakup song in the relationship.
And do you find that like when a relationship is really where you love it to be, your writing style totally changes?
I don't know. It hasn't been like there.
You know what? Okay. But let me, LP, let me be a Coach Mike for a second. Can I? Can I be a Coach Mike?
I can't believe I'm saying that. But
yeah. Okay. Do you beat yourself up thinking that you mess up relationships?
Yes and no. Yeah. Probably. Okay. Yeah.
But there's like a lingering like kind of voice where like somehow you should have done this or did this wrong or you're too much of this or whatever.
Yeah. And, you know, on the communication tip, that's like definitely like, you know, in that regard, it's like tough for me sometimes. And
yeah.
I'm going to lie down.
You're going to lie down for this one, right? No, I mean, because by the way, there's also this thing, right? Is I find it fascinating, like culture of relationship. Like I'm single right now. I say that I'm single, but my core is engaged from all the yoga. But like I like, there's this thing in culture that's very much like relationship. Like you look at presents, they always have the first lady and everything is geared towards that. But then you look at divorce rates and they're 50%. And then you look at single people out there or people in unhealthy relationships. And there's this thing where I feel like at a basic level, we're taught that if they don't work out, that somehow there's something wrong. Like We did something wrong.
And also, like, what are we like? You know, like, are we little, like, stupid robots? It's not always like, you know, isn't this great? Like, you know, I mean, shit happens. Like, you know, it's like a tough, it's tough to navigate a lot of things, you know, as far as, you know, there's a lot of distance in my occupation that happens. And, it's, you know, it's hard to keep your life in the cute little cookie cutter place when you're like, you know, all over the place.
Yeah. Well, and also, couldn't it be that, like, I guess I'm not trying to dig in too deep or whatever, but like, when you initially say
I'm impenetrable.
Yeah, okay, I got it. But when you say that, like, okay, like, I grew up in a family where, like, my parents were married and my dad was an attorney, successful. It was academics. They didn't really show love. They didn't really get along. There wasn't communication. And I've literally had to spend years of, like, self-reflecting, digging, therapy, or what have you.
And they stayed together?
No. They eventually divorced after 30 years. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's just, love is this interesting thing. And I've just, it's because you're lovable, right? Like, you're a lovable mm-hmm. person. Like, out of curiosity, you are into women, right?
I am.
Okay. And so I'm just curious, from reading your lyrics and everything, is there a certain type of woman that you just love? That when there's a spark where you're like, that's it, I love that.
Yeah, there's the spark. There's the, you know, I don't know. There's so many things, you know. I think I take it all in like, in so many different ways, you know. Like, the thing is, for me, I feel like, you know, I'm always like, I feel like a jolt when I meet a person, usually, or like maybe I see them a couple of times and then I'm like, oh, you know. And it seems to, I don't know, it gets very like, I, you know, I was saying about being a serial monogamist or something like that, almost like I feel like I just immediately know. And then, you know, I meet a lot of people, a lot of beautiful people, a lot of people that are, you know, might be interested, you know. But once I'm in that place, and it can be a bunch of things, you know, it's like, it's a beautiful spirit, beautiful face, beautiful everything, you know. I just feel like it's a whole package kind of thing, you know. Like, I talk about songs sometimes, how, you know, I think of a song as a beautiful woman for me, or a beautiful person, whatever, that you know, fall in love with. And I feel like, you know, yeah, they're, I feel like the melody is like their what they look like and how they make me feel like when they walk in a room. And then the lyric is their personality and their depth and all the, you know, the, like, so I feel like on repeated listens, I need those lyrics to like drive it home. So, you know, I think it's like that person's mind, of course, that like really, really gets it going. And then it can get really windy in there. And I was talking about being gone, you know. My relationship with my girlfriend has been like, you know, we were together for a year, and then I was just touring for the next four. We've been together 5 years, and she's a musician too, and started touring. So there's like this constant, like, you know, distance, which is not really my best thing, you know. And not because of like cheating or whatever, which it has been in the past, but not in this one. This is just connection, you know. You like, I think that, like, and I think that's the hardest thing about our world moving so fast all the time, is the connection part of things gets a little difficult, you know. And now we've all been home for a year in this scenario, which is also very interesting to understand and kind of, and keep, you know, buoyant and feeling like good about yourself and what's going to come and what's going on between the two of you. So it's, you know, it's a challenging, relationships are always challenging. This is saying, you know, like with my parents, and you said with your parents, I mean, they were together for 30 years, you said, your parents, right? I mean, 30 years of like a bunch of unhappiness. My parents were like almost, I think, 25 years. And it's just like, that's a long time to have like, you know, unhappiness in that. And And we don't have to do that anymore, but it's still, I think you still, you know, because you start to love that person on a bunch of different levels and it gets very complicated. And then, you know, if you don't communicate properly, which I think I don't a lot of times, it can get super convoluted and you don't get to, I think we were onto this thing where we were talking about not expressing yourself at the right moment, you know, and that's a very difficult thing sometimes, I think, like, especially in, you know, an older generation of people that were kind of, you know, very far apart, especially in the fact that the way women and men cut through the world, and that the opportunity to say things to the other person are often lost and often kind of, you know, pushed down and left for a different time. And then that time is never the right time. So, you know, I think relationships and even observations of relationships are, you know, it's rife with opportunity to write about, you know, heartbreaking stuff, which I'm always up for.
Yeah. And it sounds like even when you're in a relationship or relationship with your girlfriend, it's almost therapeutic in a lot of ways to just express how you feel and what you think and the journey of it. And nothing's, there's so much gray, like nothing's black and white until it's all over. But even then there's remnants of the past. Right. So, so I think that's really beautiful that, you know, I read this, I was like, oh, she wasn't with anyone. And then, you know, and you tell me that you are with someone, but this is just feelings that you express through it, which I think is really interesting.
I mean, like, you know, she said to me when we watched the video, you know, because when you're, you know, when, at the time you're watching the video before it comes out, the song is done. It's like, and it's coming out. I think she said something like, you know, I mean, I don't know if I should or shouldn't say, but she's like, can this be the last song that you write about how you give me everything and I give you nothing or something like that? You know, and it's, I mean, you know, I'm always like, I blame myself first in all, you know, problems in my life. You know, I look to myself first. I'm not, you know, but I just say it. And when it comes to me like that, you know, I was away in Cabo, in Mexico, on a writing tear, and that was like I think the first or second song wrote then, and it wasn't like a lyric I was sitting on. It was more of like a the first line was just like the "Not if you got what you wanted," you know, and it went on from there. And so, you know, a lot of times I write stuff that's like, you know, rolling around, banging around in my heart. That's more about you know, those feelings, just like we were talking about before. These like kind of tumbleweed kind of emotional kind of terrible things that are rolling through and you're like, ah, I'm depressed, I'm all right. You know, tumbleweed rolls out of town, you're like, fuck it, I'm good.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
what are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making, just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
I mean, to be honest, I think it's interesting, and you use these words where you're like, there's like, which is it, by the way, I think there's a lot of truth to this, which is bizarre. Like if you, I think I worked in it before in pop culture, right? Meaning like with artists and everything, but I just love that you're not a pop girl, you know?
Oh yeah, man. You know what's so funny though? Like I will tell you that I am considered a pop star in a bunch of countries,
like a yeah, like of pop Israel and a bunch of others.
You know, it's just America. Like Americans need they shit like a certain way. You know what I mean? They don't get it. Like, you know, and we're so like, you know, there's room for about like one fucking dyke every like, you know, like 10 to 15 years, like a big one, you know what I mean? Or less or more longer, you know? So it's not like I'll be honest with you, you know, Mike, I'm like bigger in the States than I ever thought I would be. I mean, I'm like, you know, selling out like, you know, 2,000 and 3,000 rooms, you know, like people rooms. And I was going to play the Greek in fucking LA this year. Like I you know, it's beyond my wildest dreams, you know. But in America, like people don't, you know, like a lot of people discover me here. And it's like that skit from Saturday Night Live where Will Ferrell just walks out of the vagina like a full grown man. Like, and they're just like, he's born as like an adult. Like, I feel like I'm like that, you know, like I'm just, they're like, I don't like what it. And then they look up my shit and they're like, wow, like all this stuff is there. So it's like kind of like shocking to them. And I kind of love that, you know, like, and I feel like I'm, you know, like the things that I've experienced are so unique. I was saying, I'm so lucky.
It's interesting because you say they allow like one dyke every 15 years, right? But
something like that. I didn't do the math in my head, but it does seem like, you know, if you're going to go back, I mean, and there's more people that are, you know, gay, fluid, bi, whatever, like that we don't talk about, or that don't get to that insane status or whatever, you know. And there, people are everywhere, you know, gay people are everywhere, and thank God, you know. But
but you're saying in other countries it's a little different? In other countries you find that to be a little different?
You know, I mean, yes, sometimes I think like people kind of just chalk it up to being an artist. I wouldn't go as far as to say it's like kind of like you know, like shaman status in some cultures, you know what I mean, where they're like, who cares? You know, like, but I do think that it's in the name of art, everything goes, and it's not as delineated as it is here, where it's just like, you know, where like everybody wants people to kind of like represent them or what, you know, and people want that, you know. I just, I'll be honest with you, man. Like, and I really mean it. I don't care. Like, you know, it's like, I care what someone thinks, if like, I care what they think, as far as like, you know, cause I like to like be kind and have kindness given back to me. But like, ultimately, if you don't like it, then get the fuck out. Don't fucking look at it. Like, I don't care. You know what I mean? It's like, if it's not for you, bye. You know, that's it. And that's it. Like, you know, go with God. Like, I don't, it's okay. You know, I don't like everything.
Were you always, but my question though is, were you always like this?
You know, I think I was, but I was like, I tried to, you know, kind of, be like other people, you know? And then I was just like, it's a thankless job. Nobody gives a shit if you conform. Nobody cares. You don't get a fucking award at the end of life. It's like, and so here you are. You get a half empty Topo Chico for conforming and being, and not upsetting, disrupting the fucking apple cart, you know? It's like, who cares? So to me, and I'm not, you know, I feel like I'm not like, I'm also not into being super disruptive. I'm just into options and giving myself and other people options of like how to live. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't want to, and I want people, I'm not, you know, like as far as like people being the norm, that's cool too, because I don't want to look out and see, I don't want to look out in my audience and see a bunch of me out there. I mean, like, I really don't, you know? And I want to see, diversity and variety. And I feel very inclusive. I'm like not into being exclusive, even as far as being an artist and being like, you know, hey, I'm like, you know, I'm like this, wait outside, you know. I feel like I try to be, you know, in terms of safety, there's sometimes no choice and all that stuff. But I think that I really, you know, I like people to feel like we're all popular in high school, you know, mm-hmm. Like instead of like, it seeming like this kind of like, hey, you know, and that's what like sometimes entertainment gets into and popularity gets into. And it's, you know, it's tough. Like, it's a tough thing, fame and all that. Like, one of the hardest things about like trying to be a songwriter, musician for me was that thing that people were like, oh, like, so you want to be famous kind of thing. And that is, that comes with the job. And I don't have any problem being, you know, famous. And I have different like levels in many different places. But my main goal was like to express myself, to write songs that matter to me and that would matter to somebody else. And that's my goal for the duration, is to, you know, my heroes, people that I look up to, like, you know, like Leonard Cohen or David Bowie or Bob Dylan, that just keep writing. You know, they're like Leonard Cohen and David Bowie released the coolest, most like work that stands up to their OG work right before they, you know, kicked it. And that's what I want to do, as far as like, that's my goal and how, where I want to go with this. And I want those songs to, whatever, be something to solve someone's, you know, hurt in their life. And I'm, that's what I'm looking for. Like, yes, it's lovely to be recognized. You know, it's really cool. Like, it's really, it feels really good. Like sometimes when someone comes up to you somewhere, sometimes many people, whatever, but that's not the goal. It's just, it's part of it. And I would never be like, oh, you know, it's uncomfortable. I can't stand that. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's
no, you know? I mean, to be real, like, that's probably what attracted me to you, was you have that inclusive vibe, and the people you, David Bowie, all of those people, like, they all have this vibe, like everyone's included in the party. And there's not a better than, there's not that vibe at all. If anything, it's more like come as you are type of vibe. And, one more question I have around how you express your art visually, like from your, and I know you could go, this is just me, right? But like your style, I'm like, I wish I'd be dressed by you for a day, right?
Like, yeah, we could go shopping, Mike. I could take you to a couple places.
Let's do it. But like,
thanks, man. I mean,
it worked. Like, where do you come up with it?
one of my my ex was a fashion designer and kind of taught me like the value. I think we almost discovered art together, like the value of like tailored stuff that like just, you know, like is your own thing. And I think your, you know, your body is your house, you know, like that's like, you know, the yoga thing is a big thing with that. Like yoga changed my body, changed my mind. And it's like, I think that's part of, the whole thing of, that's why in a way, as they say, everyone is an artist, you know, you are like, I can guarantee you like that, outside of like, you know, Merlin coming down and changing me into like, you know, anything I wanted to be, maybe like a 6'5" dude, like, you know, whatever. but like, I look exactly how I feel on the inside, you know? And I think that's like part of my thing. I think people can kind of tell that, and it was work, and it was experimentation.
Oh, that's so badass. And I love it. And I'm actually going to go to my closet after this, and I'm going to tag you on Instagram, and I'm going to show you how I feel, and I'm going to make some TikTok videos to your songs. Oh, by the way, I joined TikTok too. Mine are ridiculous.
I just started on TikTok, and it's going really well. It's like, you know, my managers were like kind of pushed me to kind of start it, and it's been fun.
Yeah, I saw you. You're literally you posted a video of you in a bathtub.
It's my bathtub. It's fucking sick. It's the guest bathroom. I never go in. I'm like, I want to start doing videos in here. Fuck it.
I mean, honestly, sometimes those guest bathrooms don't get enough attention, and then later in life, you're like, I did nothing there. Just,
you know, I give it a once over, and you know. But yeah, I think that, you know, you like dressing like is kind of like, you know how kids do that thing where every kid seems to go through that phase where they have like, they love boots. They got the rain boots, or they got the cowboy boots, and they're just dressed in like 18 different colors, and they feel great about it. And I feel like we lose that as adults, and we shouldn't. We should just go for it, and like, you know, kind of dress like you're never coming home again. Like, this is your outfit for eternity, and you walk out of the house and you're like, I feel great.
You're so, like, I was traumatized. So I'm the shortest male in my family. What? And I'm 6'5". I'm the shortest male. And my parents, literally, I wasn't allowed to shop, and I went to private high school, so I had to wear a uniform. But then I would go off to like parties and raves or whatever. But
yeah,
if they were going to buy my clothes, I had to shop at Big and Tall. That was the only place I was allowed to shop.
That's tough because they don't do it, you know. But I will tell you, you know what you got to do is, and where are you located? Where do you live?
West Hollywood.
Oh, you got to go to this tailor that I go to. That she does all my jeans and stuff, and it's not as expensive as you would think, and it's the best, like getting something that's just made for you, and it's, you could do whatever.
I just gotta say, I love that dress. It, because really, if you think about it, dress how you feel inside today. Don't dress about how others would like you to be or what you would want to get attention for, but purely dress how you feel. That's awesome. I don't know why.
I had this book in on a hotel I was at this one time, and it was about dandies, like men that like super dress up in suits all the time and look amazing or whatever. And just like, you know, like fashion is definitely has things, and like there's, and it's an art form in its own or whatever. But there is also an element, I think, in fashion that has to be this, like this little bit of like the wild individuality that just takes control ultimately and sculpts the thing that you're into and you're interested in. And it's super fun. And I think anyone can do it. And it's so liberating that it really, you know, I mean, listen, when, you know, women first started wearing trousers, it was a whole thing, you know, but they felt great. And it was life changing. And I think, like, you know, men couldn't have, you know, even men looking back are like, really? You know, like, I mean, women had to wear like the craziest shit just because you weren't allowed to see their ankles or some shit, you know? So it's like, I feel like I'm, you know, I'm living it for all of them. I'm just like, bitch, we good. We're doing what we want. Yeah.
That's set. Well, listen, if you ever have the urge where you want to go on some shopping frenzy, hit me up on Instagram and let's go.
Hell yeah. I'll go with you.
Let's do it.
I think you got to come see Anna at Denim Revival though, because she'll change your life. You could go, you know, that thing where like you buy like 10 pairs of jeans and you wind up wearing one of them and you're just like, ugh, I have 9 pairs of jeans sitting in my drawer. Instead, you take that one pair that you love and then you go to Anna and you're like, can you make another pair of these, and then could you even do this or that like I wish these just were a little bit wider at the bottom or like a little bit different, and she does it, and it's like pretty cool.
Awesome. Well, I'll definitely give me that info, and I appreciate you coming on, always evolving and showing up. I find you really inspiring, and thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you, LP, for coming on Always Evolving with me, Coach Mike. And thank you to all of you who have listened. Go follow LP. Also, check out the song and video, The One That You Love. I love it. It's my new theme song. Also, check out my free empowerment group. It's at CoachMikeBear.com. Look forward to bringing more guests to you next week. Subscribe, rate this, and keep it magical.